And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning to you. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. And was trying to play a little theme song here for the morning, a little New York State of players not playing. But trust me, I'm not going to sing it for you, Mike.
Come on, this is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
It was Mike's request. I'll have to make it up to you somehow.
No. The only reason we picked that song
is
obviously to celebrate the Knicks victory.
I know.
I thought it was just a fun NBA final.
Oh, my gosh.
It really was, especially with the big comeback.
I tell you what, the third or fourth game where they came back from 29 points down.
Unbelievable.
And it's great.
And so we played A New York State of Mind by Billy Joel. And, of course, Billy Joel has his own context with Madison Square Garden.
That's right.
Because he had, was it a monthly show?
He was there for a long time.
He did for years.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
And packed them in. Wouldn't that have been fun to go to that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, the other one is that you have down on your list here is New York, New York from Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yes.
And Liza Minnelli. Those would be the two, right?
Exactly.
And then they were playing with all the people celebrating the streets. They were playing Alicia Keys' version with, I think it was with Jay-Z of New York. Because she sings that song, the New York, something. But anyway, so it was really fun. And I had lived in New York for about 15 years. So having been through that whole thing, I was just super excited. It was really fun.
You and I both enjoy New York.
Yes, we do.
I haven't been there enough, but we've gone up there various times. We ran up there and ran the marathon.
I ran the marathon too. What year did you run it?
1980.
Oh my goodness.
1980.
I ran it in 1993.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Congratulations.
Yes, I did. It was one of the best experiences of my life.
Me too.
It really was.
Me too. I mean, obviously you go through all five boroughs.
Right.
End up in Central Park. And I don't know about you, but when I hit Central Park, I said, I've got it made now.
Yeah, no.
Until I had six more miles to go Central Park.
What is it, 26.2
miles.
And
absolutely.
You hit the park and you've got that 0.2 and you're thinking, I'm there. And I thought, it was the longest 0.2 of my life. I thought, I'm never going to get to the finish line.
But what a way to see the city.
Yeah, it is.
I'll never forget, real quick story. Yeah. We'll get to gardening.
We'll be talking about gardening. It's raining.
It is raining. But as I'm running, you know, I'd hear, go, Wiggins, keep going, go, Pensacola. And I said, wait a minute. I don't know one of these people. But I guess the New York Post had published the name, the number, and where you were from.
Yep.
And that was so much fun.
Yeah, I remember very clearly. My favorite part of it, and I think I've shared this before on the show, was when you go from borough to borough, the thing about New York is that from street to street, from neighborhood to neighborhood, it's different. So I remember when we got to Brooklyn, whenever the Brooklyn Bridge got to Brooklyn, and we went through this one neighborhood, and it was Hasidic. And they don't cheer. That's part of their faith, is they're very quiet. So it was so bizarre because we just come from some rowdy neighborhood, and then you cross the street, and there are all these folks. They were all out there holding signs saying, go, go, you can make it, da-da-da-da.
Absolutely.
But completely quiet. There was no cheering. And then the next neighborhood, I think, was a Puerto Rican neighborhood.
Right.
And so then it was like the bands and the dancing, and it was just wild.
But then you go over to Queensboro Bridge.
Right.
And you end up in Manhattan.
Right.
Where everybody's in fur coats. Have a Bloody Mary.
Toasting their champagne toast from their brunch.
Exactly.
I remember that so well.
What fun.
It was
congratulations.
Yeah, you too.
It was
wild.
Could talk about it forever.
Yeah, I used to be a big time run. I used to love to run. I think that's why I ended up having bad knees later on.
Me too. I can't even walk around the block now. But
We didn't have the special sneakers back then. I ran around in Keds and on sidewalks. You know, there was no turf to run on or special.
Exactly.
It was the hard way.
Well, what fun.
Yeah. Who knew? Anyway, I love New York. Love the city. So I'm very happy for them. Boy, just a celebration. But you know what was really neat? It's just to see everybody come together about one thing and just be happy.
One thing positive.
Yes.
that's what was nice about
it. Yeah,
it
was really neat.
Cheering and yelling and having a great time, and that was all part of it.
And I think Thursday they're going to have a big parade.
Oh, really?
That'll draw a crowd.
That
is going to be fun.
Exactly.
Oh, and I also heard a kind of a funny thing. Spike Lee, who's the filmmaker, and many people know who he is, he has been a Knicks fan on the sidelines for 50 years, I think.
Right.
I just heard a rumor that I read in the paper that they are thinking about giving him a ring. Because he's been such a loyal fan all these years.
What a nice gesture.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
He's always there.
Oh, yeah. Every game.
And he's dressed to the nines. I mean, he's dressed like a Knicks supporter.
Exactly.
A lot of fun.
Sports are fun. We've had a lot going on with sports lately. So we were in the World Series. The Georgia's made it to the World Series. We unfortunately lost 4-3 last night. But we still got another game, so we're still in there.
It's a double elimination.
So we're hanging in there.
Go get them.
Yeah, we're hanging in.
My Seminoles did not make it this year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Y'all usually do. You usually have a good baseball team.
Oh, no. I don't say we're always there, but we've been there many, many times.
We have not. So this was a big deal for us.
Who do you play next?
We're playing Texas tonight. Now, we beat Texas before, so this is the, I guess they call it the loser, the double elimination category. So we got to beat them tonight to keep going. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. Very good. Well, good luck.
All right. We'll see. And then you got the World Cup going on with the soccer.
Yes.
So much of that. So I guess we won and beat Paraguay. So now we play Australia Friday.
Right.
So that'll be fun to watch. I'm not a big soccer fan, but I am intrigued
by this whole thing. I'm not either.
But I love this whole, I love the spirit of it and seeing all the countries coming, so many people coming to the United States to see their team. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. My experience is with 4- and 5-year-old grandchildren taking them when they're on the soccer team.
And that is entertaining.
That is entertaining. It is so much fun.
Too funny.
No doubt about it. Now, we do need to.
We probably should get back on track.
You think so? Well, I don't know. This is kind of fun.
Let me regroup and say, this is Pep Talk. Have you just joined us? Pensacola's expert panel. It is the Garden Line. Our host every week at this time from 9 to 10 is Mike Wiggins, our gardener extraordinaire. Okay, so we've got rain.
I'm looking at the radar here.
Yes, sir.
And I'm telling you, this is a mess. But I think the good news is that I don't have a feature here where it tells me where all this is going. But it looks like a lot of the extreme weather will go north of us.
It does. That happens a lot to us. I feel like we're in this little pocket right here.
I agree. But here we are right around Mobile Bay. There's a line right there of orange colored.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
That looks like it'll probably hit our way. But up north, my goodness, it's just loaded. Because this particular rain, correct me if I'm wrong, I didn't hear Andrew talking about this morning, is tied in with a potential small tropical system off of Texas.
Alan Strum was talking about that last night on WAR.
Right.
It started over by Galveston.
Exactly.
Was on the land, and it looks like it kind of is moving back out into the Gulf. And unfortunately, right now, our temperatures are between 83 and 85 degrees in the water, and that's not good.
That's not good at all. So hopefully this will amount to nothing but a little bit of rain, which is good for us because even with the rain we've had, we are still, I'm going to say, way behind as far as rain. I'm not sure if we call it a drought at this point, but we are behind year to date with our inches of rain.
Right.
So, and we need it. We need it. This time of year, we do need it. The temperatures are so hot. It's good for our plants and our lawn and all of that to have this particular rain. So, anyway.
And I do want to mention while we're talking about that, just real quick, Bands on the Beach is every Tuesday night out on Pensacola Beach at the Casino Beach Boardwalk. And on days like this, when we think we might have some rain, just keep checking the Santa Rosa Island Authority's page. You can check the Pensacola Beach Chambers page, as well as on Facebook, they do have a Bands on the Beach page. So they will announce, usually about two, if they know it's really going to be bad, they'll announce around 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right.
But if it's sort of iffy, they'll wait pretty late till 4 or 5 o'clock before they make the call. So you can check and see there before you head out to the beach today.
You can take an umbrella.
Well, that's true, too.
That's true, what the heck?
Okay, so let's get back to gardening,
sir. Let's do it. Okay, we're going to get some rain, and that's good. When we come back from our break, I did get an interesting it was an email from Daniel Leonard. Remember Daniel Leonard?
Yes.
He's the extension agent over in Calhoun County, one of the best writers, horticulture writers I've ever seen. He's always got an interesting topic, and his topic today is drift roses make perfect landscape plants. And we've talked about drift roses before, mm-hmm. but let's see what Daniel has to say about it.
What makes them different from other roses? Why do you call them drift roses?
Well, drift roses is just a trade name for them, but the drift roses are close cousin to the knockout roses.
Oh.
In other words, they're
I know what those look like. Those are beautiful.
They're not the traditional miniature roses. Mm-hmm. They are a dwarf rose, but it is the type of rose like a knockout that is very low maintenance, and so many people are using them. And we're going to talk about the effect of drift roses on the rose industry.
Oh.
In just a minute.
Very interesting. And we just got a text from one of our listeners as we were talking about the Knicks game, so I'll throw this in right before the break.
All right.
To remind us that Robinson, number 23, the center for the Knicks,
yes.
played here
yes.
in Pensacola.
Yes, we forgot to say that.
That's right. So we've got hometown representation on the national championship
team. You better believe it.
All right. On that note, we appreciate all your texts. We'll be talking about gardening in just after the break. And if you would, if you have a question or comment for Mike, he's the expert this morning at 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be back right after the break. Good morning. This is The Garden Line on Pep Talk with your host, Mike Wiggins. He is our expert this morning. So if you've got a question or comment, feel free to text it in at 850-437-1620. Before the break, Mike, you were going to talk to us a little bit about drift roses.
Yeah, and this is email from our friend Daniel Leonard over in Calhoun County, just talking about how it has changed the rose industry. The knockout roses, which I think everybody listening knows about them now, they are very low maintenance.
Very
they bloom pretty. Their hearts out and give you color almost all summer long, really into the fall. It's a great plant. But what it has done, it has taken those tea roses and grandifloras and floribundas and made them much less popular. And as a matter of fact, they don't sell mm-hmm. like they used to. And that has affected a lot of the rose companies. But this particular drift rose is a type of knockout rose, if you will. That's not very scientific, but it is. Here's why. They took a ground cover rose, which is what it says. It's very low growing.
Mm-hmm.
And they they crossed it with a miniature rose,
oh,
which we've sold for years and years and years. And then it produced how Daniel puts it, and he always says that was the right word, a perfect little landscape rose.
Oh.
He has a way with words. And anyway, and the drifts, they haven't been around since 2000, and they've been around since 2007. So not
that's fairly new.
In the horticultural world,
yeah.
It's not that long. And they've got some names that you might want to look for here. Coral drift, red drift, apricot drift, sweet drift, which is a double pink.
Mm-hmm.
Really very, very pretty. So, and you and I have talked, Meg, about drift roses that we think is a plant that is planted in the median strip in Gulf Breeze.
They're very pretty, whatever that is.
And they last. And
mm-hmm.
they
are those drift roses?
Yes, I think they are from driving by there.
They're beautiful.
They are disease tolerant. They don't require any pruning, which is refreshing because so many of our traditional roses do. They're very compact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say maybe 2 to 3 feet high, maybe 3 to 5 inches wide. And here's something that's very important. They don't outgrow their space. In other words, that's how they grow, and they stay that same size, if you will. But there's one big thing you've got to remember. They want full sun. If you don't have full sun, like all roses,
mm-hmm.
for this one it is really important. A lot of the other problems you may get, such as a leggy plant, it's one that flowers very poorly. If you don't have the sun, that's what you're going to get. But if you have this drift rose in full sun, it is going to be beautiful all season long. They need a lot of water, especially when they're first planted.
Mm-hmm.
And I always like to put, as you know, a little bit of organic material like Canadian sphagnum peat moss in the hole when you do it. and mulch it. Pine straw is good. Cypress mulch will work. So if you do all those cultural things, then you really are not going to have many problems. The knockout roses that I grow, only have two, one on one side of the house, one on the other, and they do get full sun.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, they have just bloomed. It's still there. It's shot off a beautiful bloom just the other day.
Oh, my.
Really looked nice. So try a drift rose. It might be fun, since it doesn't outgrow its space, to maybe, if you have a large container, to try to put a drift rose in a container.
Okay.
That might be kind of interesting to do also.
Can you do that now, or do you have to wait to another season?
Oh, I think if you go to your garden center and they've got a container of a drift rose, no, I think you can plant it right now. You just have to be very careful in 90-degree weather, because, as Daniel says in his email, water is a key, especially when they're first planted for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They are. So, in any event, try the drift rose, a little fertilizer, maybe just a couple, three times a year. An even analysis would work, like an 888 or even a 15-0-15 would work. You don't have to over-fertilize it, but you do all those good things, and I think you've got a good plant. It might be fun to try.
Okay. Well, we've had a couple of texts coming in this morning with some questions from Mike. He's our gardening expert today on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. So speaking of roses, we got one text that said, can you tell me if there's such a thing as a climbing rose? And then I have to laugh because another text that just came in right after was, good morning, Mike. My wife really wants a climbing rose. and I don't know if these are the same people, but, and my goodness, she's going to get one. hey, please help me find the proper one to grow on a brick veneer wall. So that's pretty funny. So we got two texts that came in about the climbing.
About a climbing rose.
A climbing rose.
I don't know. I have never planted a climbing knockout rose, or, you know, obviously it wouldn't be a drift rose, because that's.
And then she was specific. Kim had texted in. She was specifically asking about the climbing knockout.
Right. I hear you. And I think they have, I'm going to speak a little out of school here. I believe they have taken some of the heirloom roses, which some of those are climbing roses,
mm-hmm.
and have also improved those like they did the knockout series. So you might look into, ask for the heirloom, which is an older rose.
Okay.
But has been hybridized to be a knockout type rose.
And a climber.
Maybe speaking out of school here, but I think that's exactly kind of what I've heard.
Well, we have a research department, and part of that is made up of our listeners. So if you have found in your journey a climbing rose that works, please text in the information for it so we can pass
exactly.
it on.
Now, keep in mind, you know, they're all kind of climbing roses,
mm-hmm.
traditional climbers.
Right.
And they are really very, very pretty. But I hear what they're asking
mm-hmm.
here. You want to knock out because it's maintenance-wise, it is so much easier than some of the traditional ones.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. If you've got a question for Mike on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620, we'll be right back. This is the Garden Line on Tuesday mornings with Pep Talk. I'm Meg. Mike is your host for the Garden Line, getting lots of great questions on the text line this morning, 850-437-1620. Got a comment. We've been talking about climbing roses, and one of our listeners sent in that Peggy Martin climbing is gorgeous.
It's funny, he mentions about, Daniel talks about Peggy Martin rose. A Peggy Martin rose is what is labeled an antique rose.
Been
around a long time, but the company that does the knockout roses, one of the companies, has taken the Peggy Martin rose,
mm-hmm.
and you could probably call it a knockout type rose.
It's a
climber,
mm-hmm.
no doubt about it. So there's another one also called Belinda's Dream.
I want to know the story behind that name.
Yeah, our research department, they'd be all over that one. So, and they've become real popular for the same reason we talked about.
Belinda's Dream. So where
dream.
Would you find these unique?
Oh, I'd start with my buddy Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden, or on Werner Turf. Ask those folks. They may have some too. But, Peggy Martin and Belinda's Dream, are would be good roses for anyone. They're okay. Fun to grow.
All right. This has been a very interesting topic, talking about roses this morning with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line. We'll be back for another half hour. So if you've got a text or a question, just text it on in at 850-437-1620. When we come back, Nancy's got a question about her lawn. So we will get to that right away after the news.
On the Hudson River line, I'm in a New York state of mind.
There you go, Mike. I just had to do that for you. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins.
One of my favorites, I'll tell you right now. And we've already talked about the basketball game, so we won't talk anymore about that.
We just had to get that in there.
Had to get that New York stuff in there. Very good.
All right. This is the Garden Line, and we've got on the line Nancy. Oh, she's calling back again. I think she got disconnected again. Nancy is on the line. We're going to try to put her through. She had a good question about lawn care.
Good.
So hang on just a second here, Mike.
Good.
Nancy, are you there with us?
I'm here.
Yay. You bless
all
your
right,
heart. She called back
right.
twice.
Nancy,
okay.
Thanks.
I'm going to put you through to Mike. Go ahead, dear.
Morning.
All right. I've got a place in my yard. It's up front in the corner of where, like, right next to where the driveway meets the street, kind of a little slope down. And we have a hard time growing grass there. If I try to plant something else, is it probably going to not do well either?
The chances are that could be. However, we need to kind of think about why you're not growing your grass there. As you say, it's on a slope?
It's a little bit of a slope, yeah.
Okay, I got you. Well, just a couple of maybes here. One, we'll address the slope first. Of course, if you have a slope, okay. your water is going to run off. You may need to be doing a little bit extra water. Second, is there a tree close by where maybe the roots are interfering with the growth of the turf? Is there a tree nearby?
No, there's no tree.
Okay.
No tree.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one other thing about grass growing next to the street. That is the hottest part of your yard next to, you know, an asphalt or concrete street. And that's why generally in late summer you'll get the tropical insects. That's the first place they go because they're tropical. They're looking for a warm area, and that's exactly where they go. Now, so you need to look at that to be sure if you're getting discoloration, the blades are browning out. You might want to check for chinch bugs by taking a little piece of that turf out and put it in a bucket. And if you've got chinch bugs, they'll kind of crawl up the edge of the bucket, and then you have to treat with an insecticide. Also, don't discount having a fungus. By the way, what kind of grass is it? That's important to know.
Well, it's been a mixture.
I got you.
No centipede.
Well, that's good. Well, as you know, St. Augustine has had major troubles, not only with those chinch bugs, but with fungus. And that's why, and we've said this many times here on the Garden Line, is that's why a lot of people have said, hey, I can't grow grass here. I can't grow St. Augustine grass. I'm going to go to zoysia grass, which in many cases has done much better. Now, if this is just a small area in your yard of St. Augustine grass, sodding in zoysia might not be the thing to do because you don't want to have two different grasses there because they take different mowing and different fertilizations and all of that. I would check for those insects. I would increase my watering in that area. And here's one other thing I would do.
Okay.
I would, one, either get a soil test and see what the pH of that soil is. St. Augustine does not like the type of soil we have in Pensacola. That's why we always like to say, put a little bit of lime, a little bit of dolomite lime in that area where you're having trouble.
Okay.
That'll raise that pH because that's what St. Augustine wants. So Watch out for the insects. Increase your water. Put a little lime out. Oh, and thirdly, or fourthly, really, which also, I think St. Augustine needs a little fertilizer kick midsummer. So if you could get a little slow-release nitrogen, you don't need to overdo it, but a little slow-release nitrogen in that area might get that grass going. It likes that midsummer. Okay. Then we come back in with the winterizer type fertilizers in the fall. But generally in around July 1st, a little fertilizer will help. I think if you do all those things, maybe you can have some success. I hope so. Oh, and one other thing. I'm sorry. Just it comes to mind. Is there a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic in that particular area? That can sometimes. Because I was going to say, generally in the winter, when St. Augustine, especially Centipede, have a lot of traffic. You know, kids playing soccer, that type of thing. That will make that grass come back in the spring and summer very weak. So, but if that's not a factor for you, I'd go back to the other solutions.
Okay, very good. So I think we lost her. I'm so sorry about that, Nancy. But anyway, hopefully.
Oh, Nancy, that's a great question.
Great question.
Really appreciate you calling.
Okay,
really
thank you so much. This is The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Got a lot of texts rolling in this morning, 850-437-1620. Here's one that's been probably patiently waiting for an answer, Mike. This one came in a little bit earlier, but we planted banana plants 3 years ago. Ooh. Their trunks are expanding greatly. If we cut out half the trunk this fall to try and reduce the size, will it harm the plant?
It won't harm the plant, but I'm not convinced you're going to really reduce the size of that banana plant. You know, a lot of people with their banana plants will cut them back almost to the ground, let's say 2 to 3 feet down every year, and then let them come back. But they always will come back so strong, sometimes stronger than they were the year before you cut them back. Now, there are a lot of people, and this is kind of an aside, this wasn't part of the question, ask us, when can I get bananas off of my banana plant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you've got to do is don't cut it back at all for 1 year and let's put it this way, and hope that you don't have a hard freeze. If we had a winter with very little cold weather and you didn't cut it back, you have a chance of having bananas. But in Pensacola, we generally have at least 1 or 2 days of weather cold enough that it knocks that banana plant back, and then that's when people cut them back. But to answer the question point blank, I don't really think cutting back that trunk is going to reduce the size. I think ultimately it's going to get as big as it is now, if not bigger.
Okay, great questions coming in at 850-437-1620 for The Garden Line. And here's a comment that came in because we've been talking about lawns and grass. I have beautiful new zoysia we installed about 8 weeks ago. It's very thick and green and full. At what height should I mow it now?
Good question. Now, generally, as a general rule, you know, we always go St. Augustine 4, Centipede 3, zoysia 2 inches. But there are various varieties of zoysia. I would go back to the person who you bought it from to, one, get the name of the variety of zoysia and find out what they recommend as far as height. I think around 2 inches is a good starting point. And if you don't want to go to all the trouble of tracking down the people that sold it to you, that's where I would go.
Okay.
But it is cut lower than St. Augustine. But, you know, you can't do St. Augustine 2 inches. You'd be in big trouble. But zoysia is a grass that you cut lower.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
I'm telling you, he is the expert here this morning on The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We're talking with Mike Wiggins. We will be back with your questions and comments. 850-437-1620. Don't go away. We'll be back right after the break. And we're back with The Garden Line on Pep Talk. We got another caller on the line. Stephen is with us this morning, so hang on just a second here, Stephen. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we've been having some issues with our phones this morning, so I apologize, but we've got Stephen on the line. What's your question for Mike this morning?
Yes, ma'am. So I have a beautiful front yard of zoysia, nice, thick, I mean, just like a carpet, and my backyard is St. Augustine mixed with Zoysia, and the St. Augustine is creeping into the front, and I cut it low. I cut it two and a half inches every week, and that St. Augustine is just keep, I mean, it's flat, almost hard, like a board, but it's still, it's beautiful grass, but it is low. And I'd like to keep, how can I keep that St. Augustine from creeping into my Zoysia?
And that's a tough question because, quite frankly, when we're trying to keep some grasses out or weeds out or whatever, we say, okay, we're going to concentrate on the cultural aspects of one grass and ignore the other one. But what, yes, what you do with Zoysia and St. Augustine is basically the same except for the height of mowing. Same fertilization, same insect, same pH, all of that. So
yes, sir.
It's hard. That is very hard to do. I really think that if you continue to do your, 2.5 inches, that's probably the best that you can do. And hopefully that Zoysia will move
choke
that, will choke it out, and you'll be okay then. But insofar as anything to spray or any thing we could do as far as mowing or whatever, the Zoysia and the St. Augustine, as I say, basically take the same thing except the mowing height. So that's where you need to go. I'd just keep mowing it low, and I think you're going to hopefully stop it. Now, St. Augustine's pretty vigorous. You know, it's got stolons in it, and it'll creep, you know, into your flower bed, and, you know, it can be very strong. But that Zoysia is strong, too. So I think if you do what I said insofar as mowing, I think eventually you'll be okay. There's one other solution, and you know what it is. Get on your knees and get down there and kind of, you know.
That's how I get rid of the milkweed.
you know the drill then. Yeah, but that is no fun in the hot summer, you know, working at St. Augustine or milkweed or whatever. Out of your lawn and garden.
Neighbor of love.
That's
there
right.
There you go. But let me tell you this. We appreciate you calling, and good luck. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank
appreciate you. Thanks
bet.
For listening.
Yes,
this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. It's the Garden Line on Tuesdays with Mike Wiggins. He's our expert on the expert panel. So we've still got time for your text at 850-437-1620. And this one's from Phil. He says, hey, Mike Wiggins, do you have the best gardening show on earth? Question mark.
Yeah, that big question mark there. There's no doubt about that.
There you go. And he says, my lemon tree is still dying, the woolly sand. Any thoughts? I think I remember that question from a little while ago about the lemon tree.
Yeah, I agree. Phil, of course. Well, thanks for the compliment, Phil. You're one of the best real estate agents in Pensacola, too.
So, okay.
We'll trade compliments here. He really is good. The lemon tree, I think, with Phil, has been a problem for a while. You know, you just need to do the basics. You know, full sun. Be sure if it's in a container that the container is not too small, that plant hadn't become root bound.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is root bound, go ahead, take it out, loosen the roots, put it in a bigger pot or put it in the lawn. Do what you have to do. Watch out for varmints. Watch out for scale.
Varmints.
And that type of thing. Oh, yeah, exactly.
This is very Southern. Varmints. Watch out for them varmints, y'all. Go ahead. Like didn't mean to interrupt.
It's like the Beverly Hillbillies here.
No, go ahead.
Anyway, Phil. Thing about Phil, he's a good gardener.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what to do. But that lemon tree, and sometimes, you know, some of the citrus we grow,
they're tough.
You know, it's tough, and some of it, you know, does better in our climate and our planting zone than others. So you need to obviously research that before you buy any citrus. That's what I would recommend.
Okay, great questions coming in.
A lemon tree, a good one is a Meyer lemon. That's a good variety
to plant. Great. Great questions coming in this morning. 850-437-1620. And we got a photo that came in from Alice. And she says, Catherine's other gardening sister. We all know Catherine.
Yeah, yeah.
And the photo is, it's a, let me see if I can pull this up here. It is the a beautiful, looks like it's an archway. And it says the Seven Sisters of Demo Garden. And it looks like a climbing rose.
Yes.
It's on the top.
That's right.
Seven Sisters.
Seven Sisters.
Beautiful.
That is not a new variety by any stretch. It's been around for decades.
Gosh, it's beautiful.
And it's beautiful, no question. And I have no surprise that Catherine's relative,
a gardening sister. I don't know if it's a real sister, but a gardening sister.
Exactly. Have green thumbs.
There you go.
They are so good.
Okay, now I have another question, totally different topic, and that's what I love about this show. You ready? How do you propagate, this is from Jim, how do you propagate black-eyed Susans?
Well, I would think you could take some cuttings off of them. You could try that. Stick it into you go buy a little packet of hormones. That's called root tone. And stick it in root tone, just stick it in some very light soil where you've mixed up some, say, vermiculite or perlite, that type of thing, and see if you can't do that. It's fun to propagate plants like that, but sometimes if you're really looking for the end result, you might be better off with some varieties just going out and buying them. Buy your transplants and go from there.
Mm-hmm.
But you could certainly try to use those cuttings and start them out, and you can start them out in little 4-inch cups with that good soil, and then bump them up as they get bigger. But that would be my take on that. That's kind of a tough question, but you might try that.
Well, I like black-eyed Susans.
Oh, yes.
They're pretty.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that question. If you've got a question, we still got a little time left. 850-437-1620. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Yeah. Good morning. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on Pep Talk, and we're down to the last couple minutes. Can we do kind of a quick wrap-up? We've touched a lot of subjects this morning.
We have, and just a few things. And we mentioned this last week, and looking at this radar screen I've got on my computer over here, these oak trees that have gotten so thick, get in touch with your tree surgeon and talk about pruning that tree out a little bit to allow the wind to come through in case we do get a strong tropical event coming in. Not this one, by the way, but one coming up in the next couple of months. So do that, because that way it just might keep that tree from being damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I certainly would do that. Also, we didn't get any questions on this today. I think I know why, because the listeners to the Garden Line know better. they know better than to get out there and spray a bunch of weed killer in 90-degree heat.
Mm-mm.
You may have weeds, but what you need to do, especially if it's St. Augustine, go ahead and give it a midsummer kick, let it get lush, and let it kind of choke out some of those weeds as best it can. But to spray an herbicide, a chemical, can really be a little bit dicey. Also, keep in mind, as we move into July, that the azaleas are going to start setting their buds for 2027.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So you don't want to, as you get into late summer, you don't want to get out there and just whack those azaleas down. It probably won't hurt the azaleas, but what it will do, it will reduce the amount of color that you have next spring. So you need to keep in mind, they do that in the summer. So in any event, one last thing. This rain looks pretty strong. People be so careful out there driving. It's just dangerous, and I would say kind of cool it to this big, big glob of rain.
It's right in front of him.
Yeah.
Mike, I got a last-minute question. I don't know if we have time, but about a minute left. Someone sent a beautiful picture of this gorgeous cedar tree, huge. And the question is, what can I plant around it? The bottom's all barren. Any quick suggestions?
If you don't plant annuals, plant some impatiens.
There you go.
Plant some impatiens. Something that really likes to shade. Or some coleus. Coleus do great, too.
Okay.
Some of those good shade-loving plants.
All right. Thanks to everybody that texted in this morning or called. We really appreciate you as our Garden Line family. And our Garden Line dad is right here. Mike Wiggins. Okay. Mike Wiggins. Thank you so much, Mike. You're the best.
Thank you. Oh, no, man. You're the best. Thank you.